hear it now? All right. I'm going to do some different this morning. If you have your Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Tracy Durham, I need you to come down here. Help me today. You said anything for Jesus. It's your time. And then my wife, I need you to come down here. Who else? Let me see. I need Mark. Mark, you come down. Somebody else. Right there. Gary, while you're walking, come on down here, buddy. Unless you need to round up kids or something. Can you come down here and spend the whole time? Okay. Come on down. There you go. Put that on. See if that fits. Here's your chair right there. You're on a different level. You can just sit down. Y'all pick a seat. All right. They don't have no idea. I have a little bit of idea. I'm going to be honest with you. I've wrestled with this message all week, tried to just get away from it and do something different, even up to the point this morning, last night. And so I'm like, all right, we're going to try something a little different. Ephesians chapter 6, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. Last week we talked about truth. Is your heart true before God? We talked about hypocrisy and fake and being real with the Lord and before men. And this week we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to back up in verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which is able, or which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. You know, one of my greatest desires for God's people to walk in victory, because we've been given that at a high price. Right, and the devil tries to destroy us. And so we're going to focus in on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, it's something, you know, you'll notice there it says that you put on. It's not something that, listen to me, it's not something you produce. It's something that you put on that's been provided. And righteousness, you know, righteousness, there are several definitions there, but basically the original language means to be clean, white, pure, perfection, holiness. One definition, though, I really want to use this morning is it means to be properly clothed. You know, when you look at the pictures in the Bible of where the Lord, a lot of places where the Lord speaks of righteousness, one in Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus returns in the end, the armies of the Lord, that's people who are born again believers behind him, clothed in clean white linen. It represents our righteousness, that there's no more sin, no more darkness, that's all been tended to and taken care of. Now, if we want to look honestly, righteousness means to be right with God, in right standing with God. And in that, when you look back in, we don't have to turn. I'm going to go to several places today. You don't have to turn. You can write them down if you want to go look later. But you'll remember back in the garden where the first attack took place in spiritual warfare. You have Adam and Eve who walked with God in the garden. He provided everything. God always, his heart was for us to walk with him, fellowship with him, know him, enjoy the things God's provided for us, and to have dominion. They had dominion over the devil. Yet they submitted that dominion. He came, and basically what he did, he stole their heart because he's a thief. In order that, and I want you to get this, Satan's attacks are not just primarily geared towards us. They're geared towards God because he wants to crush the heart of God. And here's the thing, God loves us in such an unexplainable way that Satan knows if I can get to you, I can get to him. And so, and what he did was a straight out attack on Adam and Eve, but also a straight out attack on God in order to get to God's heart and attack God back. And so the breastplate was what a Roman soldier wore. It was like a coat of mail. It could be a chain coat. It could be solid, but for them it was chain, and it was to keep from penetrating with swords and arrows and that kind of stuff. And so it protected the heart. And when the Word of God speaks of, when God's Word speaks of things, He is speaking about the person inside of you. Understand, your flesh will never be righteous. Our flesh will never be righteous. That's why we all going to die, and it's going to turn to worm dirt. So when God's Word speaks of righteousness, He's talking about the spiritual man. You're not a physical person with a spiritual aspect. You're a spiritual person with a physical body. And this physical body is born after Adam. We were born all together in sin. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. And we will all die physically. But not all of us will die spiritually.
Amen.
You understand? So when you read the Bible, because here's the thing. There's two things Satan wants to do about righteousness. He wants to either promote your self-righteousness, or he wants to overload you with so much guilt and shame that you don't feel righteous. And what he does, he works off of your flesh, and he draws your focus and your attention to your flesh, so that when you're reading the Bible and it says that you are being perfected, most of us, unless we're self-righteous, would have to say, I don't look nothing like perfect, so obviously I don't know the Lord, and I need to try harder and do better and this and that, and work towards these things of which we can never attain. And so Satan wants to take a lie and drive a wedge between you and the Lord and your walk with God. And what I want to drive your attention to is that when God's Word speaks and says in Colossians chapter 1 that we are holy, blameless, without blame in His sight in love, He's not talking about our flesh. He's talking about the person inside of you. That person inside of you is one of two things: alive because Christ saved you and raised you to life inside. Your spirit person is alive, born again, or it's dead in trespasses and sin. And so to throw a monkey wrench in the gear, Satan basically, and it talks about this, and we'll be in, you can flip to Romans if you want to, Romans chapter 3. It talks about this in Romans. Also, I'm going to be making a reference to 2 Corinthians this morning. And I know I've taught a lot on this subject. It's kind of why I want to do something different. Maybe it'll penetrate or keep your attention long enough. But Satan wants to attack the way that man can be made righteous. Everybody knows they're a sinner. Okay, especially everybody, number one, been given a conscience. The Bible said eternity is written on the heart of man. And there's just something about mankind throughout the world. If you look at all the different religions, I walked in a museum one time. They had a bunch of the idols that's from all over the world. And one of the things that I noticed about those idols were every one of them was like they was ticked off. They had an angry look on their face. And that's what religion says. People know that God is angry about sin. You're like, God's angry? Absolutely, God hates sin. God is angry about sin. He hates what sin has produced in our lives. He hates what sin has produced in His creation. Doesn't hate the sinner, but He does hate the sin. Swallow that. Quit believing the whole crap that's being preached about, oh, everybody sins, God's okay with sin, God condones sin, God destroys sin. That's what He's going to do. He's going to put an end to sin.
That's right.
And so in that, Satan brought that about, and because of Adam and Eve's choice. But in that, God made a way that we could be right with Him, that we could be made righteous with God, and to restore all those things. That's what we talk about when we use the term salvation. So the devil, what he wants to do is, and it mentions these three things in the first three chapters of Romans. He has three different ways that he provides his own clothing. What I mean by that is the first thing that Adam and Eve noticed when they took part of the fruit of the tree God told them not to, they sinned against God. The first thing they noticed was they was naked. That means that they had no covering. They knew that the Lord was coming because He came in the cool of the evenings. He walked with them and fellowship with them. And all of a sudden, their relationship to the Lord, which was perfect, radically changed the moment that they chose to believe the lie, partake of the sin, conceive the sin, and it brought forth death. And they noticed that they were naked. They were no longer clothed before God. That's what happens. That's why a man is so afraid, because we know, every man I believe knows in his heart, unless he just deceives himself, that one day we all going to die. And eternity is written in our heart. We know we didn't come from no monkey. We ain't going back to dirt and far spiritually. We're going to live forever. One or two places, heaven or hell, depending on the choice that you make of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And so in that, man knows that when he stands before a holy God, that he's guilty before that God. Right. Adam and Eve felt that guilt for the very first time. They knew they were naked before God. And all of a sudden, rather than receiving the proper clothing, the righteousness of God, the devil's like, hey, I got a clothing store. I'll fix you up. Now, this is where I want you to get this one. Basically, three things that the devil uses. And you are in one of four groups this morning. You're going to get Tracy. Tracy, everybody knows Tracy loves honey. You go, brother, let's put this on you. It's going to be a little warm for a little while, but it'll be all right. At least you're not going to hell. Amen. So we're going to make sure. I'm playing the devil's advocate. I'm dressing you up, okay? We're going to put that on your head. That'll keep your old bald head warm.
You want to be talking.
Put that on. You know why we're putting this on? Because he's the hider. Adam and Eve put on, I got one more thing. Adam and Eve put on fig leaves and they hid from the Lord. Tracy's the hider. Put that on. There you go. And you sit down. Say, why in the world do you put all that stuff on? Well, number one, we need to hide his thoughts. We want to hide our thoughts before God. We don't want God knowing what we've been looking at on our phones, on our TVs, or when people are walking by. We want to hide our ears because we don't want God to hear what we've been listening to and what's been going inside. We want to make sure that we cover this up. You can sit down now, brother. You just wear that. He's the hider. That's one thing that people do with their sin. This is what it talks about in the first chapter of Romans when it refers to the heathen. They just want to hide from the Lord. They want to deny God altogether. They know there's a God, but they didn't glorify him as God. We just want to put God in the background. We want to hide him in evolution. We want to hide him in education. We want to hide him in a lifestyle. We don't want nothing to do with keep that light, the Bible, away from us. We don't want that. We're just going to hide in our sin, and we won't deal with it. And there's a lot of hiders here today. And they don't want to be real with God. They just want to keep everything covered up. And they think God doesn't see. And here's the thing. God sees right through it. Because God's looking on the inside. You'll notice that I picked him. He's wearing black. On the outside, he's camouflaged. He's hidden. But on the inside, that's what our sin is. It's black. And God looks past the camouflage and he sees the inside. Does that make sense? And so he's the hider. I'm going to be nice to my wife. I started to do this for her. And I thought, nah. You know, here's the truth. You know, here's the thing. Everybody that knows Tracy knows he's comfortable in camouflage. There's a lot of people who are real comfortable in their sin. As long as they think they've got it hidden, they're comfortable in their sin. Now, I hate to say this, even God's people. Even God's people, you want to hide it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to bring it up. There are areas of your life that you just want to keep hidden. You don't want God to know what you've been looking at, listening to, how you've been walking. I almost wrote a booster, man. My wife represents the second group. There you go. She represents the worker, and she is a little worker. And if ain't it funny how God works off of, how Satan works off of our natural man? He uses the things that feel, feel good. It makes you feel good with God, And so my wife is the worker. The worker is basically the good old gal, the good old boy. And what the devil does, if you work enough, you can be right with God. The hider doesn't have to deal with it. You just stay hidden. You stay hidden. Everything's good. God doesn't know. You don't have to deal with that. Just no God. There's no God. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe that church thing. The hider is the one who tries to hide himself through other people. Well, they this and they that, and I'm not like them, and I haven't done what they've done. You know that preacher? He's half devil. But the worker's like, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. The worker's like, if you ask him, how do you know that you're right with God? I do this and I give and I serve and I blah, blah, blah. And they'll give you a list of all their good works and they'll be like, my works are better than their works. And so they try to work and they're always trying to attain their righteousness by their good works. The Bible says Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your works doesn't save you. Your works can never make you right with God. You can't ever make up for all the bad works. She's got plenty of bad works. And if she tries to work her way, whatever route that work looks like, if you're trying to work your way back to God to find good standing with God, that's the clothing of the devil, and it's not the right clothing. This will be great for Gary. Gary represents the religious. I think this is pretty dominant in our culture. This is something I used to wear about 40 years ago, and thank God I buried it, but I actually found this. It's actually brand new. Brand new. Here you go, Gary. I won't make you put the pants on. Gary's the Sunday best. You ever heard that? You ought to wear your Sunday best. Gary, the Bible speaks of, you can sit down. Gary speaks of the religious person. Gary's the one when you say, what makes you right with God? What makes you think you're right with God? Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I know the Bible. I always went to church. My grandma and my grandpa, they took me to church, my mom and dad. I memorized the Bible. I read the Bible all the time. I go to a Baptist church. I go to a Baptist church and preach the KJV version. Baptist church. I've been baptized. I prayed the prayer. I do this. I do that. And then he'll start looking at other people and go, you know what? I keep the commandments. I don't do this. I've never done this and I've never done that. And it just took a little bit of the blood of Jesus. But ultimately, he's hiding behind his religion. I used to be Gary. I used to hide behind my religion. Stood up in front of the church when I was 3 years old, said the books of the Bible, got my first Bible. Mom and Dad just drilled it into me. Buried it into me. Never been to a party, never drank, never did drugs, never this, never that. What makes you think that you're right with God? I'm not as bad as those people. I don't look like those people. I got the right religion. I got the right denomination. I go to the Baptist church, independent, fundamental. Y'all with me? And a lot of people, there are people in this crowd this morning, I hope that I'm wrong, but I'd be willing to bet the farm on it that there's people that fit in one of these three groups this morning. You're either hiding behind your camouflage, you're either hiding behind your religion, or you're hiding behind your good works. And you're always trying to attain to where you go. And I've heard different ones. It bothers me when I hear people go, I hope I go to heaven. I hope I'm religious enough that I go to heaven. I hope that God doesn't see what I've done so that I go to heaven. I hope that I work enough to go to heaven. I hope that I make it. I'm like, what? What do you mean you hope you go to heaven? You either know that you have eternal life or you don't. And if you're hoping you go to heaven, chances are you're probably not. Now you say, then what in the world is this? Is this righteousness? Well, you know, the devil, when man fail, it's because he broke God's law. And if you want to study it, you know, when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, he basically defined God's standard of righteousness, because what religion had done, what Gary had done, he knew that he wasn't living up to God's standard of righteousness, so they changed it. And we've changed, American churches have changed the standard of God's righteousness to where we feel like we can attain and be right with God by one of these three standards. And what Jesus was, he's like, oh, let me explain to you my righteousness, which I require. Understand, God requires perfection. Right. Only perfect people go to heaven. I'm not stuttering. Only perfect people go to heaven. God's standard of perfection. And you know, that's why he just 10 commandments. He just gave 10. There's 618. If you just look at the 10, Jesus is like, you know, if you look up on a woman in lust, you commit adultery already within your heart. If you hate a brother, that you commit murder. And he goes on down. You know the Ten Commandments, all of us, we looked at that, like, take one for us to figure out, I'm not perfect. That's setting the pole vault bar at 50 feet, and there's no way I can reach that. You know, I'm jumping with a toothpick here. And so when we look at that, the devil, here's what the devil does with the law. Now when he stands before God, Mark's playing Jesus this morning. A lot of people do that at church. But Mark's playing Jesus, and I'm going to play the devil. There's a lot of pastors that play the devil and a pastor. Here's what the devil did. Now, you don't see it because you're blinded by your works, by your religion, and you're hiding from the Lord. But here's what the devil did. He comes before God, and he's the accuser of the brethren. He's like, you know what? He's already deceived him. He's like, Donna, this is who Donna is. She's black as coal on the inside. This is her sin. This is Tracy Durham. I'm just gonna pick on Tracy. He's like, you love Tracy? You love Tracy? Let me tell you what, I've got Tracy. Because you're holy, your word. You can't break your word, God. You're holy. You are the Word, and the Word and the law of holiness and righteousness says you demand perfection. And right here, Tracy Durham, we know that if I come before you as a judge and I'm going to stand as the accuser, Satan's going to stand as the accuser. You're like, you know what, Trey? You know what Tracy's done. He's drank so much alcohol that he could swim in it. He's done drugs, sexual immorality. He's a liar. He's a thief. You know, the only time that the devil has ever spoken truth is when he said that. And I can say all the same stuff about me. I'm not saying I know these things about him. I'm just saying all of us are guilty of those things. All of us are guilty of those things. And then he says, and you know what your word says? Well, the devil knows the word. The devil says the wages of sin is death. He holds Tracy's eternity. God, you can't just overlook this now, can you? He's crushing God's heart. You can't just overlook it. Even though you love him, you know what? I own him. He sold his heart to me. I'm the one who, if you don't know Jesus, he's like, you know what? I own Michael's heart. I own David's heart. I own Grant's heart. I own Janaea's heart right here. No matter how much you love them, the law is the law. Righteousness is righteousness. Holiness is holiness. And I demand, the law demands death. I own them. You know what righteousness is? Stand up for a second, Mark. Come down here. This is what righteousness is. Jesus, this is what it is. He steps down and he takes off his righteousness. He puts on. Appreciate you doing that. My wife's sin and Tracy's sin and my sin and your sin. Step up right here. For illustration purpose, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he stood between God as our judge and us as sinners. He assumed this is not just one of my wife's sins. This is all of her sins. And Jesus said, oh, I can do something. I can do something. Because here's the thing. Sin has to be paid for. Sin has to be judged. My holiness demands wrath and hell is poured out upon sin because I am a just God. And so Jesus steps down out of his righteousness and he takes it and he sets it to the side and he becomes these three people, the hider, the worker, and the religious. And he dies and takes the full punishment for your sin, for my sin, on the cross. What do you do with that? What do you do with that old shirt, Mark? Took that shirt off, buried it in a grave, pitched it to the side. And you know what? Now Mark holds that. Jesus, what's that? Jesus, I'm sorry, buddy. You don't have to put that back on. So get this. Jesus, when he died, he buried your sin. I want you, above all means, I want you, this is how you put on the breastplate of righteousness. This, your sin as a whole, the sin curse was taken and buried. Now when the devil stands, I don't have nothing to hold on to anymore. He made a spectacle of principalities and powers. Basically, Jesus is like, what do you got now? How can you accuse? Well, you know how sorry Gary was. Gary's dead. It's pointing a man wants to die. Amen. Gary's dead. Chad's dead. Kevin's dead. I buried their sin. Paid in full. Justice is served. Righteousness is offered in full. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's about verse 20, 17 through 21, said, he who knew no sin became sin. He stepped off of his throne, became a man, took his righteousness off and assumed our identity as a sinner. Paid for your sin in full. The devil no longer has a hold on you unless you just choose to let them have that hold. You understand what I'm saying? Now here's the issue. Like, how can I be made right with God? This is already provided. It says in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, that the free gift of righteousness. It's a free gift, paid in full. What did my wife do to cause that to happen? What did Gary do to cause that to happen? What did he do to cause that to happen? They're just sitting there hiding. Jesus said, even while you was in your sins, I loved you and I came and I gave my life for you. They did nothing to provoke that. He loved you so much as a sinner. He's like, I'm going to make a way that they can be saved. Now here's where we are. We have to put on righteousness. righteousness is provided. And here's the thing. I'll take a little bit off more. Jesus is like, oh, I've got, you know what? I just happen to have three robes. I have the right clothes. This is the righteousness. He said, he who knew no sin became sin, buried sin, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Absolute perfection. So you find anything wrong with Jesus? I wonder if the father asked the devil that, okay, can you find something wrong with my son? Even Jesus said, who can find something wrong with me? Like, can't find nothing wrong. Can't find nothing wrong. He's perfect. He's holy. He's blameless. He's the Lamb of God. This is what Jesus offers every sinner. I don't care what your past is. Jesus says, this is all I have to offer. My righteousness, my holiness, my perfection. So what do I have to do? You have to determine whether or not you believe that gospel. Look at that. Take off those works. You know what Jesus does? You remember the story? I thought of this when I was studying this. Remember the story of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15? He was out in his filth in the world in the pig pen, come to his senses. And he said, I'm going to my father. And when he got there, he was still filthy, and the father ran to him. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to clean up. Hey, I'm hiding my filth. He just came and he submitted to the father. And the father said, go and get me a robe. Right. Represents the righteousness of Christ in which he puts it on you. And now you're clean, white, pure before God. That's the righteousness of Christ. That when you are born again, you know, Tom Duke accepted Jesus at my kitchen table a little over a month ago. We didn't see it physically, but this is what happened that night. Tom took off his old sin. He took off his old man. He took off the righteousness he was hiding. And Jesus put a robe on him and went, now let's walk home. That's right, amen. That's the righteousness of Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. You can take that off if you want to, so you ain't so hot. I want you to think about this, though. Y'all got to stay up here. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'll stand back up. My wife is whole, clean. This is irremovable. You understand this? This is irremovable. This is your position in Christ. When God sees you, he no longer sees this. He sees his son. You are covered, properly clothed. You are holy, blameless, without spot, without sin, perfect. Only perfect people go to heaven. Jesus provides the perfection that we can never live up to. But here's what we do as God's people. It says in Colossians chapter 3, put off the old man, put on Christ. You choose each day what you wear. And here's what most people do. The devil's like, look at you. He's not going to give glory to God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give glory to your flesh. Look at you. While that preacher was sitting there preaching, he was thinking about fishing. He was thinking about how much money he's going to make this week. And all of a sudden he's like, you're such a sinner. What is God doesn't love you. You think just because you put your faith in Jesus, that you called upon the Lord, that you said he's the Lord of your life? You're so filthy. You haven't changed any. You know what you do? You start living by that old identity. You start working to go, all right, I know the Lord saved me. Now I got to do better. I got to try harder. Some of us cover it up we start hiding. Oh, man, I'm going to go to church. I don't want nobody to know what I really did this week. You know, I blew it. You know, I did this and I did that. I'm just going to cover it up and I'm going to hide it. And then some of you play the religious crap. Put it on those Sundays. Hey, everything's good. Everything's wonderful. You know, it's just lovely. And when you get home, you know what? It's easy to take that coat off. Back when I wore that junk, the first thing I did, I didn't even make it out the door. Get this off. That's what religious people do. They just get it off. But there's so many. And here's where I want you to understand. As God's people, talking to saved people now, if you've come to the place where you go, I recognize I was a sinner without hope. Never could I live it. The Bible says, and I know we didn't look at a lot of scripture this morning, but I'm telling you what it says. Read it for yourself, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there's none righteous, not one, not one. You're not going to find one righteous person, no matter how far and how long you look. Jesus is the only one. It also says in Romans chapter 3 that no man has ever been justified by the law.
That's right.
You will never be right by trying to keep the Ten Commandments, live up to some set of rules that you set for yourself. And here's the thing, you can't hide from God. It says in Psalm 139, if I make my bed in hell, he is there. He knows my thoughts before I wake up, before my feet. He knows my lying up or my rising up and my laying down. He knows my thoughts. Keep reading Psalm 139. What does he do with that? He pursues you. He pursues you. Why? Because he's like, I know you're not righteous. And it says this in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, I'm not quoting, but he said, more than anything, I want Israel to be saved, but they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted to the righteousness that God's provided in Christ. That's the person who hears the gospel and they choose to go, I don't need that. I don't need that whole humbling myself, making Jesus Lord of my life. I don't need that. Here's what I like. I'll go through baptism. I'll walk up front. I'll be confirmed. I'll go through all this stuff. I'll just come as I go and justify myself by all you hypocrites that go to this church. And then I'll go out and live the life that my heart really wants to indulge in. And I'll say, I'm okay. And the Lord's like, you know how you get righteousness? You submit yourself. You come to the Lord and go, I'm a guilty sinner. God, I'm wrong and you're right. And I'm just coming to go, God, will you save me? Will you give me that gift of your righteousness? Because I don't have none. The Bible actually says in Isaiah 64, my righteousness is as filthy rags. Let me see that. You know what this is? It don't matter what it is, how much you do before God. You offer that to God, and he's like, it's filthy rags. It's an oil change for me. Your very best, my very best, if I preach every day for the rest of my life, if that is my righteousness, if this is what I'm going to offer to God when I stand before him, I'll say, why should I let you in? If I went, Lord, I was a preacher. I preached my guts out. I prayed. I read the Bible. I learned Hebrew. I went to seminary 47 years. Oil rags. It's filthiness before God's filth. I gave $1 million. I won the lottery, Lord, and I gave half to the church. Filthy rags. Wrong clothing. You understand? That's how holy God is. Well, that's pretty demanding, but how loving is he that he would send his son for a godless, wretched idiot like me who loved me enough to die for me to set me free from the stronghold of the devil that he can say, if you'll humble yourself and you'll come to me, I'll give you righteousness. I'll make you right with God. But here's more than that. He says, I want you to walk in that. I want you to walk in that. I want you to walk in that freedom when the devil's like, hey, guilt and shame. Remember the past? And walk him over to the tombstone and go, yeah, I remember the past is buried. It's buried. I'm not that person anymore. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm blameless in God's sight because of the blood of Jesus. That's what makes me whole. That's unchanging. There's nothing the devil can do to change my place in the position that Jesus died to give me. That's his righteousness. So my question is for you today, finishing, which group are you in? I really want you to think about that this morning. I want you to think about it. You're like, well, I'm not sure. I might be the one that's hiding. I might be the one that's playing religion. Been a Baptist 47 years. I'm a good person. I do good. I do a lot of good. I do a lot more good than I do bad. I do some bad, but I do a lot of good. Hopefully everybody here can say, I'm the wicked sinner that's been forgiven. That Jesus loves, not because of who I am, but because of who he is and what he's done for me. Now, here's where I want to go as we finish, and I appreciate y'all and y'all can stay there. You can sit down, buddy. I know Jesus stands for us. You're awesome. Here's the way I want to finish this, because over the years, the idea of salvation somehow comes from, okay, now we need to play some music, and now I need to walk up here to this place, and I need to talk to the pastor. Not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Here's my concern, not that I or anyone else knows that you've trusted Jesus. My concern is I just want you to trust Jesus. So we're not going to sing a song. If you will, just bow your head. Just bow your head where you're at. You don't have to. If you don't want to look up, that's your business. But I just ask you if you will. I'm not asking anybody to raise a hand, do anything. I don't want to draw no attention to you. I just want to give you a minute to go. If you're here today and you go, I've come to realize I've never really trusted in Jesus. I've never given my life to the Lord. I've never accepted his love and forgiveness that I desperately need. I've been trying to do this and do that and hide from here and hide from there. You don't got to, listen to me, you don't got to walk up in front of nobody. You don't got to walk up in front of the church. There's no sinner's prayer that you pray. So what can I do if I'm here today and I need God's righteousness? Just tell him. Just humble yourself. Call upon the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Yes. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin and God raised him from the dead. The Bible said if you'll call upon the Lord, he'll save your soul. Right? It's not a vision. It's not a feeling. It's a receiving of God's love. God, please forgive me my sin and save my soul today. Thank you so much that you love sinners. Maybe you're here and you're one of those people, God, I am born again. So let me ask you, are you walking in the righteousness of God? Are you trying to make it better each day, work harder, do more? You know, there's a lot of people who do more and they get so frustrated. Religion leaves us so empty. Hiding leaves us a wide open target for the devil and he's just wreaking havoc in your life. You know what God wants? God's like, why don't you just come to me? Just come to me and be honest. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Just come to the Lord and go, God, I need you to fix this. I need to be honest with you. Because you know why? I know that you love me and I know that I've been made righteous because of you. And I want to walk in that freedom and I want to walk in your love. And every time the devil reminds me of my guilt, I'm going to remind him of the victory that I have at the cross. I'm going to pray and we're going to get out of here, all right? If anybody needs to talk to me afterwards, be glad to stay up here and talk with you however long. I'll just be honest with you. If you made a decision to trust Jesus, I'd love to know it. Right. If you need help with that, if you got any questions, I will stay here with you all day and answer your questions and tell you what the Bible says. You make your own decision. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for your great love for us, God. Wasn't anything that we did to provoke that. We haven't done anything but turn against you. We sin. We hide, we cover up, we fake, and you love us anyway, Lord. Thank you that you pursue us. Your only heart's desire is for us to turn to you, that we can be saved. And Lord, the devil's so deceitful, he's so crafty. God, I pray that the message of the gospel, you'd open up people's eyes today. Lord, everything's been provided. Not one person in here doesn't have a robe that you've provided if they'll just receive that. Father, I just pray for your people today that we'll be a people who don't depend upon our own righteousness, that we're not found having our own righteousness, that we don't walk in our own performance. But Lord, each day we'd humble ourselves to receive the power of grace, to be found having your righteousness. And we'd walk in that, God, that you would be the one who's glorified. It's not about what we do, what we hold on to, or how we keep things. Lord, your word said you keep us.
That's right.
And God, everything you desire from us is simply for us to love you out of a response of your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you was willing to become sorry and sinner. Represent me on a cross and take the full weight of the punishment of the sin, the punishment I deserve so that I could live forever, so that I could have a life that you've given me that's absolutely incredible, Lord. I pray that our lives would be lives that are point to you, God, to give you glory, to worship you, to praise you, just to love you and walk in your word, to live righteous. Because we've been made righteous. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.